This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you all. The last Friday. No, it's not. No, it's not. I started to say it, and then I forgot that it is not. It is February 20th. It's the third next to the last Friday of February 2015. Glad you're joining us here on the live show, and thank you very much for the effort to tune in after a very, very crazy, cold, snowy, some people might call it frustrating, others might call it peaceful, whatever you call it, a very typical Indiana winter experience that we've had over the last several days or so. When we had you on here last Friday evening or Saturday morning, we didn't have the snow just yet. And then it kicked in, and then Monday we got the white stuff. Tuesday wasn't so bad, and then Wednesday is when it really got nasty out on the roads. And here we are at the end of the week, and there's more white stuff in the forecast, I'll just tell you right now. And we'll talk about it in a couple minutes. Hopefully you stayed safe, stayed warm, everything worked out for you. I know that a lot of parents were getting a little cabin fever with the number of snow days that we had this week. And welcome to Indiana, not February. Because normally when you get into this part of the year, you think, okay, we're getting out of the winter season. Spring break is just a couple of weeks away. But remember, in Indiana, we like to take spring break when it's still winter. That's just my note of observation for you. Jim Inman joining you on your Friday night. Mr. David Piller is out this week, and hopefully we'll see him back in the studio soon. But glad to have here in the studio in just a few moments, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter. A couple local guys who started 2 years ago, the Monroe County History Club, celebrating their second anniversary next week, and you are invited to attend. We'll talk about that and what the History Club does and just some fun stuff. These are great guys, Skip and Michael, and I think you're going to enjoy the interview here in just a few minutes. Last week, we had Dr. Jason Simmons on the show talking about measles and being preventative and monitoring your kids and being aware of vaccinations and things like that, and had some great feedback from folks that listen in on that and appreciate all of that. So again, if you miss any of the shows, you can always go to WGCLradio.com. Click on the local shows link, head over to the Bloomington Review page, and all of those shows are available for the podcast. We usually get those up Saturdays by noon. So if you miss any of those, that's where you check it out. Tonight on WGCL, if you're catching us Friday night, we're wrapping up high school boys basketball here in Bloomington, Monroe County. Bloomington High School North is heading to Columbus North. We've got Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock tonight, right after the show. So if you are catching us Friday evening, that's what's coming up. If you're catching us Saturday morning for the replay, I don't know what the score is. I cannot tell you. But check out WGCRadio.com or tune into Joe Smith on Glass in the Morning on Monday when they have all the updates there as well. So, that being said, there's a lot of things to talk about over the next little bit. Glad you are wrapping up your week with myself, and hopefully for the next 50 minutes or so, kick back, relax, and unwind after a somewhat stressful week of trying to figure out where kids go when school is canceled, and when kids are home, and what do you do, and how do you avoid cabin fever and all of that. It can be a challenge, and hopefully we will make it a little bit better for you through the next hour. Jim Inman here on the Bloomington Review. We're going to take a break. When we come back, your forecast, get you some local weather and some news updates. And again, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club will be here in the studio as well. Stay with us. Lots of fun to come here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you, and very glad you're tuning in to 96.1 FM and AM 1370. WGCL. Of course, if you miss any part of the show, WGCLradio.com, or you can go over there and stream us live 24/7 as well. Make sure you check it out, kids. It's a great place to be, WGCLradio.com. Forecast for the weekend. I did not make any promises for springtime weather because we're not there yet. It's going to be a little bit chilly and a little bit more of what we've had over the last few days. Tonight on Friday, snow likely mainly after 7 p.m. once the show's done. Cloudy with a low around 20. Then on Saturday, snow possibly mixed with rain and sleet before 1 in the afternoon. Then rain, possibly mixed with freezing rain. In short, it's not going to be very pleasant out on Saturday. High near 36, chance of precipitation right now is around 90% on Saturday. Saturday night, chance of snow, cloudy with a low around 21. And then on Sunday, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy with a high near 28. And if you look a few days out into early next week, you're going to see that the cold's going to continue with the temperatures barely hitting the upper 20s as the high. Again, all your weather all the time right here on WGCL Radio, WGCLRadio.com. Let's give you some news for the week, tell you what's going on around Bloomington and the community. Did you hear what's going on at College Mall? Well, new details of Simon Property Group's plan to replace the College Mall Sears store with a Whole Foods grocery emerged on Tuesday this week, including this new store's square footage and the identities of two restaurants that would occupy planned new outbuildings at the mall. One of the outbuildings would house a relocated Panera Bread, which is over by Eastland Plaza. The other would be a BJ's Brew House, the first of the chain's restaurants here in Bloomington and Monroe County. On Tuesday this week, Howard Reefs, who is the Sears Director of Corporate Communications, declined comment on the plan to the Herald Times, but did email a statement. Quote, "The Sears store at College Mall has been a proud member of the Bloomington community for the last 50 years. We currently hold a lease through mid-2016 to occupy and operate the Sears store and look forward to continuing to serve our members and customers. We have no comment on the mall owner's future development plans." The store manager of the Bloomington Sears, Dennis Atkinson, said on Monday this week he was unaware of any plans by the mall to replace Sears with a grocery store. Simon's proposal for all of this is to demolish the Sears building out at College Mall and then build a strip of five new retail spaces in the current place beside the Applebee's restaurant. The strip would then connect to a 30,000-square-foot Whole Foods location on the mall's north side, with the grocery's front entrance facing west to College Mall Road. Planning Director Tom McCuda said in the Herald Times that the development will create, quote, "a significant reduction in parking on the College Mall property." And the next step is going to be Simon's proposal to come before the Plan Commission on March 9th in a couple of weeks. So we go from College Mall to hospitals. Should the hospital move? Should it stay where it's at? That's the big question that's been coming up over the last several days. And Wednesday night this week, Bloomington City Council's meeting was full of discussion about the pending relocation of IU Health Bloomington Hospital. A lot of people say it needs to stay where it's at, and there are needs to be discussed more. All nine council members sponsored a resolution that urged IU Health Bloomington Hospital to remain downtown and have open discussions about the future of the 2nd Street location. Now, IU Health on Friday last week announced that redeveloping at the current location was no longer a feasible option. And while no new location for the hospital has been specified, the hospital does own 85 acres off of Curry Pike that is being considered. Now, the resolution from the council states that why the city strongly believes the hospital needs to stay downtown, including making it more attractive for other businesses, plus being a convenient location for most city residents. It stresses that the hospital should expand and rebuild on its current footprint. According to the Herald Times article, there was no representative from IU Health that spoke at the meeting, but Council President Dave Rollo said that they were told someone attended the meeting to gather comments. Rollo also mentioned that the council received a memo from IU Health Bloomington CEO Mark Moore giving reasons for why the current site isn't feasible, including 60-year-old facilities, ceiling heights that don't accommodate equipment, and costing tens of thousands of dollars more. More to come with all of this, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see a relocation out on the west side of town, especially with I-69 coming through in the not-too-distant future. Switching gears to taxes. This is a big deal to me. Taxes always are to everybody, but this is something that you need to pay a little bit close attention to. Bob Dittmer is a name you'll want to know. He is the Director of Public Relations for the Indiana Department of Revenue, and he wants state residents to know that the Indiana Department of Revenue has sent out identity confirmation review letters. These are legitimate. These are not hacks. These are not hoaxes. These are not fakes. But this is designed to help implement increased security measures because of an act in 2004 to protect Hoosiers from identity theft. Most of the security measures are taking place behind the scenes, but there's one thing that requires some action from tax filers, an identity confirmation quiz. Here's what's going on. An unspecified number of tax filers will receive a letter from the Department of Revenue telling them that they've been selected. They're going to be directed to a website to take the quiz that's designed to protect their identity and tax refund. Users are going to need to supply their Social Security number, the refund amount on their Indiana tax return, and the tax year indicated on the letter. It takes a couple minutes to process, not a big deal, according to the Indiana Department of Revenue. And the purpose behind all of this, as we mentioned, identity theft criminals attempted to steal more than $88 million just from Hoosier taxpayers in the state of Indiana through identity theft and fraudulent tax returns in 2014. $88 million potentially stolen from the state and from the pockets of Indiana taxpayers in just 1 year. Out of 2.2 million tax returns requesting refunds, 74,000 were identified as fraudulent, according to a press release from the Indiana Department of Revenue. One last thing before we take a break. Kudos go out to our friend here on the show, Pat Wilson, Bloomington High School North teacher. This week she was acknowledged and honored by the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce as a Lifetime Achievement Award winner. It's part of the Chamber's Franklin Initiative Awards Dinner that celebrates the community's educators of the year. It took place out at Franklin Hall on the IU campus, and she was part of a very extensive group, including Jeff Aiken from Bloomington High School North, Mary Chiasto from RBB, Denise Eckert-Hill from Tri-North, Gina Kerr, Bachelor Middle School, Dan Kennedy from BHS South, Megan Mann from Edgewood Primary School, Catherine Marchese from Tri-North Middle School, Jessica Willis, who is a good friend of our Mr. David Pillar. She's at Jackson Creek Middle School, where he is as well, and Crystal Wythe from Bloomington High School North. So kudos to all of those wonderful educators who are helping our community grow and our kids become productive citizens, not just in Bloomington, Monroe County, but across the world, literally. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter are in the studio and ready to get hopping, talking about the Monroe County History Club. It's a great organization. It's a free group. If you have next Tuesday at lunch, free, head out to the west side. We'll have all of the details when we come back here in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. Stay warm. It's Jim Inman here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio on your Friday night. Glad you're tuning in with us, and or if you're catching us Saturday morning, glad you're waking up and starting your weekend here on WGCL. As we mentioned earlier in the show, excited to have the two men who have started up the Monroe County History Club, which is celebrating its second birthday, 2 years up and running. Here in Bloomington, Skip Chambers and Michael Carter. Glad to have you guys back in the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And 2 year anniversary coming up. Is it? I guess next week is the celebration, so to speak. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, it'll be about 2 years since actually we first met together, just the two of us, mm-hmm. for a small meeting at the library, and it ended up into something quite a bit bigger. And it's been about 2 years since that happened.
So what are we expecting, Skip, for the two-year celebration next week?
Well, we actually got surprised on the one-year celebration, so we just really don't know. I mean, we might have cakes and streamers, and you just never do know. But I'm sure there's something in the works.
Okay.
Yes.
That's true. They gave us a plaque or something?
Plaque, and we got some really neat-looking hats. And
what do they say on the game show? Some lovely partying gifts or something like that?
Party it, by all means, yes.
Well, the Monroe County History Club is 2 years old this month, and Skip and Michael started this, and it's grown now into an organization that meets every month at the American Legion. And last month you said you guys had close to 50 or so attendees.
Yeah,
is that right?
It was about 50 people, and we don't do a hard count, but just looking at the people, it was about 50, and that had to be about the biggest crowd we've had so far.
And it's,
I'm pretty sure
it's lunch, but then if somebody who's never been, Skip, what's give them an overview of what happens at one of the gatherings?
Well, basically, of course, it's the last Tuesday of every month. Mm-hmm. Is when it's the meetings are scheduled, and you never know what you're going to get when people come. But I think different people come at different times depending on the subject of the presentation. So when they get there, it's a mingling of friends, and most people know everybody there. It's kind of pretty close knit group, mm-hmm. and of course the food's good, and I think that when they get there, they're hoping to meet people that they've maybe met on Facebook that they've never, met in person, and So I think it's a nice little
It's lunch, and then you guys bring in someone to talk about different things related to Bloomington, Monroe County.
Officially, it's like 12 noon, but some people come a little earlier, and we chat. And the presenter usually shows up at noon or a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
And the actual presentation begins about 12:30. And that gives people a chance to have lunch.
Right.
And they're ready for the presentation, which generally lasts, could be a half hour to an hour. It just depends.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some of the topics and speakers that you guys have had over the last year or so, because I know you bring a variety of things in, talking about last month, I understood, was Cascades Park and the history of that. Mm-hmm. But what are some other things?
Well, here's just a list of what we've done last couple of years. I'll just read the subjects only. History of the Showers Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting to a lot of people. A lot of people had ties to Showers. The history of the quarries and limestone mills of the area. And there were a lot more than we ever had any idea.
And a major, major part of our community.
Yeah, we learned a lot there.
History of the Monon Line. Had a lady, Randy Richardson, that had a collection of postcards from the turn of the century, mostly of the square in downtown, which were just fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Urban renewal, which Derek Ritchie did that about the effect of urban renewal in the 60s and 70s in town, how so many things got torn down.
And Derek is the
parking lots.
Derek's the author of the Bloomington Fading book, and Then and Now, and taking those pictures.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. He's very involved in it. We had a guy, Gib Apple, talk about the history of RCA, which was kind of neat. A lot of people like that. A lot of people with connections to RCA.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Skip and I and Derek gave a little presentation on the photos we'd scanned down at the HT.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With their permission, ones that they didn't mind us showing to the public, and people really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that took off really well.
David Hayes gave a presentation on Hayes Market, which people love.
And I'm sure he brought ham salad for everybody?
Yeah. By all means. He had it in tubs all over the place.
Skip's familiar with that, too, I know. But
yes.
Yeah, he knows the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Lady named Nicole gave a little presentation on the Monroe County History Center itself and how it works. And also Christine at the library talked a lot about the Indiana Room and what it's all about. And then the fellow that produced the documentary, Bloomington Remember When, which is a TV
mm-hmm.
documentary,
yeah.
told us about the making of that. That was one of our first presentations,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
A girl named Terry Schwarzkopf
mm-hmm.
gave a presentation about her father, Happy Jack Noel, which goes back to
oh, my gosh, I haven't heard that
time.
Name. I've heard the name, though.
Back.
Yes.
There was a lot of interest in that.
Happy Jack Noel, yes. My
yeah,
goodness.
Fascinating.
Yes.
She'd have an old DVD.
Yeah, she had an old radio show, and when they did it in Indianapolis, WTTS, and it was just awesome.
Wow.
And then, Emily Purcell, the curator of the Farmer House Museum, gave a short talk about it. Clay Stuckey this isn't Bloomington, but we're really connected a lot with French Lick, and he gave
sure.
a presentation about West Baden Hotel, and he knows more about the history of it than about anyone, so that was fascinating. We had a guy who works for the government give a presentation on Lake Monroe.
Yes.
The history of it, which is very interesting.
How it developed. And
mm-hmm.
And then Brad Cook, who head of IU Archives, gave a presentation.
And so you guys get all kinds of people to come in and talk and share about things.
We've been lucky, really. And Skip gave a presentation on his grandfather.
Yeah, I had a lot of old pictures that were passed through the family, and my grandpa worked here in town for Noble King Motors, mm-hmm. and a lot of people were connected with that, and
mm-hmm.
he had a ton of pictures. He had a camera around his neck all the time, and I took all those pictures and gave the presentation, and it worked out pretty well. So, but when people come there, a lot of people come for certain presentations, but there's a core group that comes all the time. But we're reaching out to everybody to, bring something there to draw the interest of the people, and it's all about people remembering, and maybe they worked at the business.
Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely
big important.
Have we found that? Are there? I mean, I know that with the Tuesday noon time period, you're not going to get a lot of younger kids because they're in school. Obviously, are there history groups in for younger kids in Monroe County that you guys have come across or anything? Have you, or people are saying, wow, I'd share this with my grandson and he used it for something? I don't know. I'm just kind of curious.
Not
if
that I've come across, have you?
No, but you got to think about, like, my kids, you know, their interest in history is different than mine. Theirs is 10 years ago. Mine might be 40 years ago.
True. Yep.
So you have to take that in account. Somewhere along the line, you have to maybe update it and look for something, you know, not that far back to draw a different interest.
Your personal history is your favorite history, kind of
by
thing.
All
because
means,
you
yes.
remember the music, remember the places you went to, and all of that other stuff.
Yes.
I think young people have so many varied interests. I know when I was that age, I probably wouldn't have been super interested in it. But
yeah.
That changes if you get a little bit older.
I think also, if you are a transplant to Bloomington, it may not be so much, whereas if you've lived here your whole life, or if you're a multi-generational person that has, you know, your parents, grandparents, et cetera, you've heard about these things. You may not have thought about it as a kid, but then you get older and like, man, I really do miss this place. So
I think a large percentage of the attendees are people who grew up in Monroe County.
Right. And
not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people on the pages, like the Facebook pages about Bloomington, you know, some of the younger people might say, well, I heard my mom talking about the Frisch's Big Boy.
Oh, yes.
Or, you know, so you get a lot of that, too. So that's people, they've heard their parents speak of things, so.
Well, let's take a break, guys. When we come back, let's talk about next week's meeting, give some details on that, talk about a couple of your favorite meetings as well. Last week, I had a friend of mine on talking about the measles outbreak that's coming across. But I think one of the topics that has been in the Monroe County History Club recently ties into that as well. So we'll talk about that and much more. So hang tight. We'll be back in a couple of minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman along with Skip Chambers and Michael Carter from the Monroe County History Club. And their two-year anniversary is coming up next Tuesday, the last Tuesday of each month, and everything takes place out at the American Legion off of West 3rd Street. Starts around noon, come out, you can have lunch at the American Legion. You don't have to be a member to do that or anything. And if Michael or Skip ask you for membership fees, that's just because they want a free lunch. Right?
Exactly.
There's no membership fees for the Monroe County History Club, are there?
You never get a meal ticket there.
I haven't tried that yet.
I heard on the radio that.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, if it brings more than 50 people in, you deserve a free lunch.
We're all more power to you.
So what's the next week's topic, Skip, that we've got on the docket?
Well, Mary Lou Mitchell, which has been there probably 95% of the time. She's missed a couple meetings. She's given the one on the Rose Hill Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
She's picking out certain graves there, and there's a lot of graves there that don't have headstones, and she's done a lot of research, and so we're looking forward to that.
Great.
Yeah, so it's definitely different from what we've done, so that's what we're looking for.
Rose Hill Cemetery is the one on that wraps around 3rd to 5th and heads towards downtown.
Yes.
Isn't there I believe there is a Titanic survivor that was buried there. Somebody who was on the boat but was able to get survive.
A memorial to him. No.
Oh, is it a memorial?
Yeah, he died on the Titanic, I believe.
Okay.
And it's just a...
Just a placard
honoring his life.
Well.
That's kind of interesting. And of course, Hoagy Carmichael's buried there. It's a real history in itself of the city of Bloomington.
Yeah,
and interesting place.
I walk around it. If you take your time, and you'd be amazed. So
favorite topic over the last year? What have you learned, Skip? I mean, what was your favorite discussion meeting? Anything in there?
Well, I picked out the Cascades Park because I ran around there a lot. We lived in Fritz Terrace, and. Mm-hmm. Went to Bloomington North, and we spent a lot of time running around the park and golfing and everything. And Dave Williams, which gave the presentation for that, he covered a lot of things that a lot of people didn't know about the park. Went way back and about, you know, when it was the main highway through the Cascades Park. So that was my big interest there because I had spent a lot of time there.
Okay.
In my younger days. So
seems like I had seen a picture. Wasn't there a... Like a stonework piece or something that had a welcome to Bloomington was that around Cascades Park?
Yes, sure was.
Yeah.
And that was at the north end of it. And back in those days, that would have been the entrance. That was old 37.
Yes.
That would have been the entrance into town, and the people had to go through the park to get into Bloomington.
Yes.
Back in those days.
That was the road that came,
Business 37 or anything like that. And actually, Skip and I one time went out there and a couple other people, and tried to find the remnants of that because it only was up for a few years. We looked and looked and couldn't really find it.
Yeah, they were.
But we know pretty much exactly where it was.
Right. I did a newer picture, and I pinpointed where it was at, and I was pretty close. And, of course, they had 10-foot stone pillars on each side of it, which it was welcome to Southern Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana University, and it was a wonderful thing. And there was rumors of maybe them putting that back mm-hmm. up, but I don't,
yeah,
I don't know how
just
far that's
interested
gone.
Interested in that, isn't yeah. he? In kind of trying to resurrect that.
Well, I just talked to Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington because they're trying to figure out a new way to welcome people to the community. So
there you go,
perfect idea.
Beautiful spot.
Be a great
yeah.
idea.
And last week I mentioned we were talking about the measles outbreak, but Mr. Carter, you said that there was another health discussion at the club that you thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, Dan Combs, who's a local historian and used to be a teacher, history teacher at Bloomington South, and is as good a historian as anybody in town, really. He's very knowledgeable. Gave a talk about the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, which worldwide killed at least 50 million people, probably more. And it was in the fall of 1918, in the winter of 1918, is where it came through this area. And it was a pretty bad scourge. A lot of people died, and they died fairly quickly, 1, 2, 3 days after getting that they would die. And it really attacked the younger people in the population, and children, infants, and people of college age, things like mm-hmm. that. And so he found out here in town by going through the death records that it probably killed a few hundred people here in Monroe County. And if that doesn't sound a lot, you have to consider when it was. It was probably only about 10 or 15,000 people in the whole county area. The percentage
right.
would have been huge.
A large and number of people.
And today would be a really large number. So, and it wasn't covered a whole lot in the paper. And he found out the death records to show that the people that passed away here in town was even more than you would find in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't discuss it much in those days. There wasn't many newspaper stories about it.
Yeah.
After it was over, I think they just wanted to forget it.
I wonder what they even called it back then, because, you know, it's kind of like World War I was the Great War, because you didn't know there was going to be a Second World
Good
War.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what you called dying of
the
Spanish flu.
Yeah, they called it the Spanish flu.
Okay.
That was their nickname for it, but it was really a misnomer. It didn't have much to do with Spain itself. That's just what it became to be known as.
Skip, this all started a couple of years back, and it has really grown because of social media. How do people learn about the Monroe County History Club?
Well, basically, you're right. The social media has spurred this on because, you know, like say we announced it on all the Facebook pages that deal with Bloomington. We, you know, put the announcements up, and it's drawn a lot of interest, and people are saying now, well, what's coming up next month? And mm-hmm. and so it's kind of snowballing into, you know, a pretty darn good gig, in my opinion, as far as, you know, people can come and enjoy themselves. But basically that other than like this show's helping us, you know, get the word out, but it's mainly on the Bloomington Facebook pages that we've got a lot of connections there.
Yeah,
to get people to the club.
And we'll put the links up on the podcast at WGCLradio.com and also at Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. So if you want to check this out, again, this is a free experience. This, you don't have to pay anything. If you want to get lunch, that's your only fee. But
right.
And another thing is we are constantly in need of ideas about future speakers because we've been really lucky so far.
What's your? I remember
quality
when,
of people
when you guys were here, or maybe it was when Derek Ritchie, the Bloomington Fading author, was here. But I remember asking, like, what's your wish list? Is there something that you guys have been on the hunt for, a topic or a speaker that is familiar with something in particular? Because it sounds like you've got a lot of different things covered. I mean, the cemetery side, but then you got the art stuff, but you different things. Is there something you're looking for?
Well, one of them we just talked about not long ago was Betty Bridgewaters, who's her mother, Elizabeth Bridgewaters, is in the Hall of Fame here in Bloomington. And we'd like to do something concerning Black history in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what all that entailed, her growing up and what it was like for her family growing up.
Sure.
Whatnot. So that's one I think will take place one of these days.
Yes. I think that's something we haven't tapped on yet, and that's a big interest, and we'd like to, you know, move forward and get that.
You ought to try Mr. Bob Hamill. He's one of the 2015 Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame inductees. Joe Smith announced that earlier this week, and you know, Bob Hamill knows this community and sports like the back of his hand, and he's a wonderful speaker and a wealth of knowledge. So
that's a great idea.
Yeah,
that's why we're here.
That's why we pay you the lunch.
That's my free lunch for Tuesday. That's
free
what I'm saying.
For Tuesday,
Oh goodness, any plans for collecting all of this information that you guys are gathering through these meetings, what the hopes are for the group as you move forward?
Well, one of these days we hope to maybe try and record some of these events. We haven't really done that yet. If we could get them filmed and maybe on YouTube or, you know, something
absolutely
like that, it would be great. It's too bad that we haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
But, something we're looking into for the future.
Yeah, either a video or, you know, just the CD or whatever, the digital download of it, where people can at least listen to it. And just like you mentioned, the Skype or the FaceTime, you know, may play a role in the future if we can get things worked out. So,
which is absolutely amazing that we're talking about a history club and talking about Skyping and, watching from all over the world when, 100 years ago, you might have been able to dial in your radio and catch something, or you waited for the newspaper to come out, and just the way things have evolved.
Well, I think the way things are today, people, even though it's new generation like technology, it's helping people discover it more today than what they remembered. It's bringing it all to life. So,
February 24th, next Tuesday, starting around noon. Out at the American Legion on the west side of town, West 3rd. Come out. And again, next week's speaker for the 2-year anniversary is
Mary Lou Mitchell.
Okay. Talking about Rose Hill Cemetery.
Now, I should mention Mary Lou is kind of under the weather this week. So if she can't do it, we do have a backup who's going to give one in the future. Clay Stuckey, who's done it before.
Yes.
We'll talk about how they used to alter historic photos to make them better before the age of Photoshop.
You mean they Photoshop before Photoshop ever
Photoshop
came around?
You
started to take my joke from me, Mr. Carter.
They Photoshop before Photoshop. Yeah. I stepped on your joke.
That's okay.
But it's okay. He'll give that one eventually, but he's able to give that if Mary Lou's unable.
Yeah, and he's helped the group out a lot. He always brings his projector, and he's been a big plus for the group, so...
Okay.
Yeah, everybody has, but he's, stepped
up. He's actually responsible for a lot of those photos you see on the wall at West Baden Hotel.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yes, he did almost all those, resurrected them.
What was Northwood Institute?
Exactly.
Was that my dad went to school there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and when I remember as a little kid, we went down to West Baden once, and it's, when you're 10 years old, an hour-ish drive feels like four.
Oh, yeah.
And,
are you there yet?
Yes, exactly. But we got there, and I will never forget seeing the stone crumbling when we walked to where his dorm room was.
Wow.
I mean, it was just decrepit. I mean, it's falling apart. There's no beauty left in the place.
It's incredible what was done.
It is.
To save it, isn't it? I mean, it's just... amazing.
It is.
Really.
So, Monroe County History Club, next Tuesday, 12 noon, and again, last Tuesday of every month, different topic, different things, and we'll put all the information on our Facebook page and on WGCLradio.com. But Skip Chambers, Michael Carter, great, great group. Very excited for you both for 2 years.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for helping us out.
Sure. And I hope you get a big cake.
Can't hoit.
So. Yeah. Bigger the better.
There you go. We're going to take a break, come back with some sports. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Thanks again to Skip and Michael, and we'll put all the information up at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Again, if you're catching us on Friday night, the high school boys basketball season is starting to wrap up, but we've got a couple more weeks left in the games. Tonight, on February 20th, Friday night, Bloomington High School North out at Columbus North and Bartholomew County. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk. Joe Smith and the crew will have that right after the live show tonight. Next week, we actually have two games here on WGCL. The first game is going to take place next Tuesday, the 24th. Cascades is going to be out at the Mustang Corral in Ellettsville, 7 o'clock for that game. Then on Friday next week, February 27th, Warren Central at Bloomington High School South. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk for that as well. You can find all of this information over at WGCLradio.com. Click on the sports tab and the high school sports section. All the details there are the games that we have available to cover. So check those out and dial in to 96.1 or AM 1370 to enjoy those. Joe Smith earlier this week had the opportunity and good fortune to share the 2015 Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame Class of 2015. And this group has grown over the last several years. This is the fifth class, a total of 55 inductees, according to the Sports Hall of Fame president, Lynn Hauser. And we announced all of these on the Joe Smith Show earlier this week. The 10 athletes and members going into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame Class of 2015 this year are Bill Armstrong Jr., Betsy Cousins, Kevin King, Sheldon Kinzer, Sean May, and George Shively. You also have a couple of coaches connected to this, John Holmes and Charlie Worthen. And then we have humanitarian designate Thomas Doc Petrie. And then contributor honoree, I think this is a fantastic one, and I'm surprised he wasn't in the first class, our own Bob Hamill, the retired HT sports editor for many, many years. So let's run down through the list here a little bit. And I forgot one, or I did add this one name, I'm sorry. Sean May is the only Monroe County basketball player to earn Final Four MVP honors. He led North Carolina to the 2005 national title. And of course, he and his father were both, or one of just four father-son tandems to win NCAA hoops titles. Of course, his dad, Scott May, played here at Indiana University. Let's see. George Shively was a seven-time Negro League All-Star, probably the best baseball player Bloomington has ever produced, according to the article in the HT. Betsy Cousins remains the lone Monroe County gymnast to claim a state title, winning four events to dominate the competition before moving on to all Big Ten honors at Ohio State. Bill Armstrong, Monroe County's first state swimming champion. He prevailed in the backstroke, but he went on to do many, many great things. Kevin King, another celebrated three-sport star for the Panthers, did football, wrestling, and track there. Sheldon Kinzer, we know, was involved in racing for many, many years. When you get into the coaches' side of things, Charlie Worthen wrote the record books out at Edgewood High School. He was there before my time graduating, but the legend lives on, so to speak. He became the first Indiana State cross-country runner to make the NCAA field, but the coaching achievements are really what's brought him into the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame this year. John Holmes won basketball sectionals at four different schools and served also as the athletic director at Edgewood High School and a role model for many different coaches and athletic administrators at schools across Indiana. Mr. Petrie was involved in Bloomington High School South Athletics. And then, of course, Mr. Bob Hamill, tremendous guy, just involved in everything in sports in Monroe County. So a wonderful class. You can learn more at MCSHOF.com, Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Just take those initials, MCSHOF.com. July 10th is going to be the induction ceremony for those wonderful men and women. A little bit of, what else have we got here? March Madness. Let me get to that before we have to take a break because we're running short on time. March Madness is going to be here on WGCL Radio. We're going to have all the tournament action right here at 96.1 FM or AM 1370. You've got to tune in on your radio to catch this. This is going to kick in on Thursday, March 19th, starting at noon. We're going to be preempting Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, on the 19th and 20th of March to cover the tournament, and we will go all the way through the national championship game on Monday, April 6th. So you want to make sure that you have it dialed in for that for the March Madness games here on WGCL. IU played Purdue last night. We've got the boys headed out to New Jersey later this week on the 22nd, 5:15 tip. Then they're going to Northwestern on the 25th, 7 o'clock game there. And then Iowa is coming to Bloomington March 3rd, 7 o'clock game for the boys. Lastly, we started talking about IU baseball last week. The baseball team is now 2-1. They've got six games coming up over the next 10 days out in South Carolina, and then they head to Florida. And then the first home game in Bloomington is going to be taking place March 10th against Eastern Michigan. Chris Lemonis, again, first-year coach of the Hoosier baseball team, looking forward to seeing some great things there. Game tonight, BHS North at Columbus North. Next week, the two games, Tuesday, Cascades at Edgewood. Friday night, Warren Central at BHS South. We got to take a break and wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left here in the show. Jim Inman joining you, and very appreciative for everybody that's tuning in on your Friday night or waking up with us here on WGCL on your Saturday morning. Forecast for the weekend, Friday night, snow likely mainly after 7 o'clock, so right about now. Cloudy with a low around 20. If you're catching a Saturday snow, possibly mixed with rain and sleet in the morning. Then rain possibly mixed with freezing rain in the afternoon, high near 36. Saturday night, chance of snow, cloudy with a low around 21. Chance of precipitation Saturday night is looking to be around 50%. And then on Sunday, chance of flurries, mostly cloudy with a high near 28. And again, early next week, the highs are going to be in the mid to upper 20s. It's going to be cold, so just be warned, be prepared. Thanks again to Skip Chambers and Michael Carter for coming in from the Monroe County History Club. Tuesday the 24th, around noon, head out to the American Legion on the west side of town off of West 3rd Street. There's no cost involved, but you're welcome to get lunch. You don't have to be a member of the Legion, but to go out for the Monroe County History Club, a wonderful group of people. It's just a good conversation about what's going on in this community and how it came to be. And I think if you haven't been to one of those, you definitely need to take the time to go and enjoy it. Mr. Pillar hopefully will be back in the next week or two before he heads off on his spring break. And it's hard to believe that spring break is just around the corner given all the weather that we've had over the last several days. But it is coming. I promise. It is coming. That's what the calendar says. Spring is around the corner. Our friend Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington always sends us her Friday flyer on what's going on around Bloomington over the weekend. Comedy Attic has Stuart Huff, an amazing comedian, is going to bring some live recordings of his brand new album, if I'm reading this right. No. He's recording his brand new album at the Comedy Attic. So go check that out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Comedy Attic downtown. And then on Saturday, there is the Local Artist Showcase at the Monroe County Convention Center starting at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Just a $2 admission, all kinds of various art from local artists. So go and enjoy that. And then on Sunday, IU Cinema Treasure Island, a story about a little girl and the adventures of pirates and treasure. $12 for students, $15 for the public at IU Cinema. Also coming up very soon, very excited to have the Indiana Heritage Quilt Show. The 2015 quilt show is coming March 5th, 6th, and 7th to the Monroe County Bloomington Convention Center. You can learn more, register for workshops, check out everything there at ihqs.org. Again, ihqs.org, the Indiana Heritage Quilt Show at the Convention Center, first week of March. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Mr. Pillar, I miss you, as always. And thanks again to Skip and Michael for joining the show this week. And follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, and also WGCLRadio.com if you miss any of the shows. Have a great weekend. Stay warm. Be safe. Go Hoosiers. Have a great one. Bye-bye.